Welcome to Women Reconnecting, a show dedicated to helping women discover the missing link to wellness by taking listeners on a journey away from stress, fatigue, and overwhelm to a life they love. It's time to ascend from the daily stresses of life by reconnecting to your inner radiance so you can play full out and feel alive. With your host, the Reconnection Catalyst herself, Lisa Mizells. Hello and welcome. This is Lisa Mizells with Femana, and today I'm bringing you an exciting guest named Bree Seeley. And Bree is going to be talking about living as an inspirational woman now and how to do that. And let me just tell you a little bit about Bree. Bree Seeley is a multi-talented and passionate entrepreneur that accomplishes her mission of inspiring women to be women through her coaching, writing, speaking, hosting events, and even more. Women connect with her writing and coaching because of her direct, raw, and vulnerable approach to life. Bree shares, she shares her perspective and experiences with the purpose of inspiring women to live life on their terms. Her conviction to infuse life with truth, passion, and focus inspires the women she works with to feel confident in their decisions and embrace their power to create and embody their remarkable futures now. And this is such an exciting topic, and it's just perfect. And Bree, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I am really excited to talk to you. So tell me a little bit more about living as an inspirational woman now and how your coaching is unique.
So I came upon this concept last year of really closing the gap between your present and your future. And so what I saw myself doing and what I saw my clients and other women in my life doing is that they create this idea that there are all these reasons that they cannot have the future that they envision. And even so much so, like when I would meditate about my future self, I would see her as if she wasn't someone that was external from me. It was like I was watching a movie. And what I realized was the more that we can actually just be the future versions that we envision of ourselves and see through their eyes instead of seeing them as something that's external from us, the more that we can just live and realize our future now.
That's great. I love that. I love that concept. So tell me more about this idea of living in your future. How can we do that? How can we get there? And how do you help people?
So when it came about last year, I had a friend who was getting ready to go car shopping. And I was like, I want to go with you. He was car shopping for like nice cars, right? At the time I was driving a Pontiac. And so the idea of test driving Ferraris and Audis and Mercedes and Aston Martins and Jaguars and like all these super fancy things was like really shiny. So I was like, I just want to go and essentially be a fly on the wall and just like experience it. And I'd never really cared what kind of car I drove. And we got there and we're driving all these cars. We drove the Audi 120 miles per hour down the freeway. And just like the feeling that I had of like having something nice and being in something nice and just experiencing what it was like, I had this moment where I was like, I could get down with this. Like, I love my Pontiac and I'm not in the market to buy a new car. But, you know, when the time is right, this would be cool. I can totally have a nicer car. So fast forward 6 weeks, the universe gave me a really brilliant and beautiful opportunity to up-level my car status. I got into a not-so-serious car accident, but totaled my car. I had $9,000 worth of damage to my car.
Oh, my goodness.
And did not have the proper insurance. And so I was either facing a $9,000 car bill or selling it for scraps and getting a new car. And so I elected to sell it for scraps, and 24 hours later, I had a brand new Lexus.
That's amazing. And so how did you talk about kind of closing the gap? Can you walk us through, like, what's the first step that you guide your clients through to be able to do this, and how did you do that?
So the first step is always clarity, getting clear on what you want. You know, I didn't had I not gotten clear on the fact that I wanted to up-level, you know, my car, I probably wouldn't have had the experience of getting a new car. Or if I would have not had that experience and still totaled my car, I probably would have gotten a lower-end one or something. Who knows? But so the first step is always clarity. And I think it's really important to recognize that it's not just knowing what you want, but it's also knowing what it feels like to have what you want. Because the more that you can live in the energy of what it's like to have that thing or be that person, and I think that's more the more important thing. What is it like to be the person that is your future self? And the more that you can dwell in that energy and live from that space, the more that the other details will kind of fall into place in your life in the present moment.
And it takes kind of being open, right, to anything in life, to all the possibilities, because like you mentioned in your car experience, you weren't even in the market, but had you not gone and been open to, maybe it's the fun, maybe, oh, well, this might be fun. Maybe it's that energy that gets you kind of, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I like, for me, the fun factor is definitely very present in it, because you have to play with it a little bit. And really, it's not having attachment to it. And it's not, you know, I joke about like squeezing the life out of your dreams. It's being open to what's present. So I didn't actually know that, I wanted a new car. I didn't know that I was going to end up with a Lexus. I had no idea about those things. But I just had fun in the moment and really dwelled in what it would be like to have that experience be my reality. And I do it with all sorts of stuff. I went apartment shopping last year in downtown LA, and I'm not in a place to move right now, but I want that in my future. And so little things, like I had my intern call and say she was my personal assistant, which is another dream of mine. So I, you know, had a personal assistant for the day. She set up all the appointments. She, you know, gave me a list of where we were going when, and then we really got to like go in and experience what it would be like for me to be moving into the kind of place that I want to be living in downtown, and just playing with it. And you know, I joke about that it's kind of like playing dress up as an adult. You know, as a kid, you get to try on all these different things and you have fun with it, and there's no attachment to it, and it just flows and it's exciting. And as adults, we stop doing that. So what if you could try on different things and have no attachment to whether or not it's actually what you want or what's going to come true, but it's just being like, oh, this is fun. Could this be a possibility for my life? And just kind of living in that energy. And the more lighthearted you can be, the more you can be in the place of your future. I just think that it all kind of unfolds.
Yeah, there's like you were talking about squeezing your dreams too tight. It's you're holding on so tight to the dream that you have in your mind that maybe you're not open to a higher level of what might happen.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, I always when I'm visioning or dreaming, it's always like, this is what I want, and then I close it with this or something better yet.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. I mean, we can see what we can see, and we don't know what else is there most times. So if you open up that energy to say, you know, okay, you know, spirit, God, universe, whatever you believe in, this is what I think I want, but if you have something better for me, let's do it.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm sure everybody and all our listeners have been in a place where they've wanted something so bad. What is that energy compared to what you're talking about, and how do you shift it from wanting something, like just being in that, I want it so bad, to that, you know, playful, open energy? How do you shift that?
So the wanting it so bad thing for me is almost like a desperation energy. Mm-hmm. And if you're coming from a desperation energy, it's almost like, so I believe in like, and as Marianne Williamson says, there's love and there's not love. So that there's really only those two things. And so desperation would fall into the not love category.
Yeah.
It's more of like a lack mentality.
Right.
So, you know, what I do is I actually am grateful for things before they actually exist in my life.
Mm.
So I have been ready for a while to have, you know, my life partner come into my life. And I give gratitude for him every day. I don't think I've met him yet. Maybe I have. I don't know. But I am grateful for him every single day.
And how do you get into that energy? Like, give me an example of...
For me, I mean, it's different for every person, but for me, it's really just closing my eyes and I center my energy in my solar plexus. And I, you know, imagine what it would be like to have my partner in my life, who he is in my life, what we do together, what he does for me, what I get to do for him, who we are together, the life that we've created, all of those things. And I just kind of like feel what that feels like. And I let that feeling just grow and grow and grow. And I'll sit with it for, depending on the day, you know, if I have 30 seconds or 2 minutes, some days it'll be my entire meditation. Another thing I do a lot is I do a similar thing around, you know, financial abundance. And I'll meditate for 30 minutes just feeling what it feels like to be in the financial place that I envision being in.
And do you visualize different scenarios or?
Not necessarily.
Just
really focus on that feeling and let it overtake me. Because the more you can be in that feeling, the more what you want to be feeling will be drawn to you.
And even if somebody is, like, say one of our listeners is in a relationship where she's not so happy with maybe her partner or her, you know, her relationship with her kids or her job or whatever it might be, you would suggest that she still tries to be in that energy and pull it toward her? Is that?
Yeah. So like attracts like. It's a scientific principle. Like attracts like. So if you're constantly dwelling in the fact that you are unhappy with your relationship, you don't like your job, you know, all these things, that's, you're only going to get more of the same. Mm-hmm. The second you can shift that and be in love with where you are right now in the moment, what you love will come to you quicker. Because I personally do not believe that love can come from hate. So if you're in a place where you're hating your life, that is not going to grow into love. You must be in love with your life first, no matter what the circumstances look like. And then what you want, what you're in love with, will come to you.
And it's almost like, it's attracting that which you want, because you don't, if you're sending out signals that, tell me if I'm getting what you're saying, if you're sending out signals that are, you know, what you don't want, like lack or desperation or hate or, just resentment, or I don't, you know, every time you look at somebody, it's like, I don't like it when they're doing that. You know, that's what you're getting back.
Yep. I always also say what you focus on grows.
Yeah. And it's the principle or the law that we're the creators of our life, right? So everything happens from inside of us.
Yep.
And to the outside.
Yeah. And whatever state you're on the inside, exactly as you said, is going to be reflected on your external world. So again, if you hate your job, then that's what you're going to be focusing on in the external world. And it's I believe it is impossible for you to create something that you love if all you're feeling is hate and resentment.
So what is one simple way that somebody can start to live in their future now or get out of that resentment, lack, hate, energy, or whatever that is?
So I would say two things. So to get out of that, you know, the negative energy and to shift it into more positive energy, you have to start looking at the things in your life right now that you are grateful for and that you're in love with. And you have to spend time with them a lot. Even if it's things like, I love my eyes, or I have a really great I don't know, whatever. When I started this, a lot of my things were, as we're sitting here recording this right now, I have a cat on my lap and a cat sitting next to me. And they are like my little bundles of love, like just unconditional love. And so when I first started this practice, it was like, oh, I just am so grateful for the cats. Like if it weren't for my kitties, I wouldn't have made it through the last 7 years of my life. And so just dwelling in that energy as much as I could. And then the more that I was in that energy, the more that I started to see things that I was in love with that had been there all along. But I just was so, my perspective was so colored that I just couldn't see them. Like, I love my apartment. I love it so much. I'm so grateful to have the most, you know, it's not perfect, but the most amazing apartment in Los Angeles. I love it. And so now every time I come home, I just got home from a few days away, I was in the elevator and I was just so overwhelmed with the fact that I love coming home. And it's the simplest thing, but so much of what we take for granted in the world. So I would say the first step would be really getting into that space of gratitude and appreciation for everything that's in your life right now.
Yeah, and a good practice might be you know, either first thing in the morning or before you go to bed or whenever you can, actually.
Yeah, I can do both.
Yeah, to just write out what you're grateful for.
Yes, I do both. I use the 5-minute journal.
Okay.
And it has you every morning write down 3 things you're grateful for and 3 things that you could do to make today a great day. And then at night, you write down 3 amazing things that happened that day. And then I think I modified mine a little bit, but I think the actual 5-minute journal says like a way that you could have improved your day. So it's just really gets you in that habit of being grateful on a regular basis. And it's not enough to just write it down. You have to actually feel it too.
Yeah, the feeling is really important. And I think what a lot of us do is we go through life grumbling about what we don't want and looking, and that of course makes us think more about what we don't want, like you're saying, like attracts like. But it's there's so many things that we do that are good that we should appreciate, and writing down your wins for the day or what you've accomplished, you know, what you loved about the day is so important, because if you don't sit down and really think and feel about what it is that you loved or that you accomplished or whatever your intention is, what you're grateful for, then you don't think about it and life goes on.
And really living a life that is, you know, remarkable and inspirational and all of those things takes so much intention. It takes so much focus and it takes so much purpose. Like, I think people look at my life and they're like, oh, you make it look so easy. And I'm like, you have no idea. I spent 3 hours every single morning setting myself up for success. 3 hours every single morning.
Oh, can you share what your routine is?
Yeah. So it started a little over a year ago. I met Hal Elrod, who's the author of The Miracle Morning, and read his book. And his book outlines a 1-hour morning routine. But it talks about doing things like sitting in silence, whether that be meditation or just, you know, a silent practice, journaling, reading to increase your knowledge and awareness of the world, some sort of physical movement. So I usually do yoga or take a walk around the block. It also talks about doing affirmations. And so I do all of those things, and I love my breakfast. Breakfast has like the most amazing meal ever. I love breakfast foods, and I don't know what it is. So I make myself a beautiful breakfast every morning with a cup of tea, and I usually sit down with the cats to like hang out and just like enjoy my food. It's a number of things. Some mornings I'll call my mom and catch up. Some mornings during my affirmations I'll turn on music and actually dance while doing my affirmations. Just kind of depends on, I think the biggest thing for me, it took me a while to get started, and I thought it was one of those things where it was like, it has to look a certain way. Like if I don't get up at this time, that I just can't do my morning routine at all.
Yeah.
And it has to be yoga followed by meditation, followed by this, followed by that. And each one has to be done for 10 minutes and da 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 da. And the second I like surrendered and was like, all right, some mornings I'm not going to do yoga and that's okay. And it doesn't have to be done in a particular order and it doesn't have to be done in a particular way. And I just kind of had some fun with it. Now I love my mornings. Some mornings I sleep in. Some mornings my miracle morning is laying in bed with the cats all morning.
I agree with you. Morning is a magical time for me. And I never used to be a morning person. But when my children were in high school, I would have to get them down to the bus stop by 6:30 in the morning. And, you know, prior to that, it's like 6:30. How do people do that? But, you know, and in order to have my time, which is really, really important, I would have to get up earlier. So I became a morning person and I became a, you know, I loved my mornings because that was my time. And I think it's so important to have your time, me time. I call it me time. Yep. It's so important. And a lot of people, especially women, we give and give and give to so many, you know, to other people we take care of and we try to fix and we try and take all the burden on our shoulders. And but we're really cheating ourselves because when we don't take that time for ourselves, then people don't get the best of us. I just think it's like that time is really, really important.
I totally agree. I mean, I couldn't be who I am in the world and I couldn't do what I do for my clients and, you know, for my writing and my speaking and stuff if I didn't have such a great relationship and space with myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that intention and you know, it takes work, but it's not hard, right? Is that right?
Yeah. It honestly, it takes a dedication. It takes a commitment, which, you know, some people don't necessarily like commitments, but I love myself so much that I'm not willing to not commit to it.
Yeah. And I think if our listeners are not in the habit of spending time for themselves or creating a life that they want to live, what are some steps that you would suggest to them that would be real simple to start that would just really catapult their life into, you know, something different?
I always say that space is a really great way to allow new things to come into your life. So I liken it. I was in fashion for many years, so I have a really full closet, like so full, so much so that I cannot buy anything new without having to get rid of something old because I cannot fit another hanger in my closet.
You get those little tiny thin hangers so you can get more in.
Yeah. So life is the same way. So if your life is packed full of busyness and like all sorts of stuff that doesn't bring you unhappiness or doesn't bring you happiness, then what you want in your life, there's no space for it to come in. Even if you wanted to buy a new thing, there's no room to put it in your closet. So you have to make a commitment to creating space for yourself. And whatever that looks like, if that's you dry yourself a bath every night, that you have a glass of wine only with yourself in silence or listening to jazz music or whatever, you know, sitting for me, it's sitting on my rooftop or doing yoga or taking a walk. But whatever that looks like for you, it's imperative that you make that space because the newness that you want in your life will never come in if you're booked from the time you get up till the time you go to bed. And if you have frantic energy during that time, your dreams will not be drawn to that. So creating space with the intention of allowing what you want to be revealed to you and then having the courage to act upon whatever that clarity that comes to you is.
Yeah, that I love that because that's so true. I mean, you have to create space in order. It's like when you clean your desk.
Yep.
You get more done.
Yeah. Right? Spring cleaning. I mean, everyone does it to like freshen the energy in their house.
Yeah.
It's the same principle for your life.
I love that. That's awesome. And I hear that you have a free gift for our listeners. It's a, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So one of the things that I thought was great in terms of shortening that gap between who you are now and who you see yourself being in the future is what if you could just talk to her and ask her and find out, what is it like to be you? And then once you get the information from her, you know, what if you could start integrating some of the pieces of who she is in the future into your present moment? So one of my things was getting a housekeeper. My future self has a housekeeper. And I had this moment where I was like, why am I waiting for that? That is so simple. It would take me one phone call to have a housekeeper. Why am I creating this ridiculous, mundane barrier to being the future me that I want to be? And so I've had women do this, and they'll see themselves. One of my best friends did it, and she's like, Brie, I didn't have bangs, and my hair was darker. And so the next time she went to go get her hair done, she didn't cut her bangs, and she went darker with her hair. Like little things that you can start incorporating into your present from your future. So it's a great meditation where you get to sit down and literally hang out with your future and ask her questions and figure out who she is. What does she believe? What does she do in the world? What does she love about her life? All of those things.
Oh, I love that. I'm excited. I can't wait to try it.
It's super fun. I have gotten some really great feedback from it. I have a girl right now who's been listening to it like 3 times a week because she's at a place where she doesn't really know what's next for her.
So. Oh, yeah, that's the space. That's the place where they can start. Our listeners can start with this meditation, and this meditation will allow them to open up some space because they're taking time for themselves. Is that right?
Totally, yeah.
Awesome, awesome.
And if it's not this meditation, you know, it can be something else. And I get, you know, this may not work for everyone, but it's a good opportunity to maybe, like, take that first step and see what comes of it.
Oh, that's great. And if people want to know more about you, how can they reach you?
My website is BrieSeeley.com. That's BrieSeeley.com.
Awesome. And we are going to have the Future View Meditation link on the blog at Femana.com, so you can get that anytime you want. And great. And then you're pretty present on social media.
Very.
Yeah. So where do you hang out the most?
I love Instagram. I'm obsessed with Instagram. So I said I used to be in fashion, so I'm a very visual person. And Instagram has become like my art form because I'm not really, I'm doing fashion a little bit still, but only for, you know, I'm making my best friend's wedding dress. But this is like my artistic outlet. So I love Instagram. Everyone always is like, your feed's beautiful. I'm like, yeah, I know. So Instagram I hang out on a lot. Facebook I hang out on a lot. And Twitter, I'm on it, but not as much as the other two. So
okay. Well, Instagram is new. I need to get more active on Instagram because it's that fun energy, right? It's that, yeah.
I have so much fun with Instagram, like just crafting the look of the feed and the, I love it.
That's awesome. I don't get it yet, but that's probably because I just haven't used it. So I'll have to, but what is your Instagram? Where can they find you on Instagram?
My Instagram is I am Brie Seeley, IAMBRISEELEY. But I also think I'm the only Brie Seeley. So if you also just search my name, I should pop up. And then I'm on Twitter, I'm at Brie Seeley, and on Facebook, I'm /Brie.Seeley or /The Inspirational Woman Project.
Okay, great. And I'll put those down on the blog too, so people can connect with you there.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today. I really, really appreciate it. And I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners will have at least, you know, a few takeaways from this that can make their life, you know, just so they can live with passion and live and create the life that they want.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Lisa.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Listen to Women Reconnecting, the only show that talks about the missing link to wellness and fulfillment. with your host, the Reconnection Catalyst herself, Lisa Mizells, and her guests as they share what's working now to feel alive and fulfilled in life. Would you like to ascend from the daily stresses of life and discover how to stop merely existing and how to play full out so you can feel alive again? Listen as guests share simple tips to step up your wellness factor and excitement for living so you can create the life you want. This show is not intended to replace any medical advice from a licensed practitioner. Consult your doctor before trying something new. And welcome to Women Reconnecting. My name is Lisa Mizells with Femana, and today I have Kelly Fitzgerald with us. And Kelly, you're going to love to hear from Kelly because she has arrived at the particular place in her life by taking the scenic route. And it's going to be really fun to hear about all of her her stories and her wisdom. So Kelly's life was often filled with pitfalls and new beginnings. And she famously says of herself in numerous workshops, "I didn't have the idyllic childhood. This led to me not having an idyllic first marriage, which led directly to my experiencing a number of illnesses and other negative events." So once Kelly escaped that very abusive first marriage, she began to live a spiritual path, and only to find herself fighting for her life as surgeries followed illnesses and bouts of depression threatened to push her over the edge completely. And throughout this time, she found herself unable to find employment that would sufficiently provide for her daughter. So Kelly began starting a business of her own. And while some were successful, many others were not. And her continued battle with both physical and mental illnesses made this period of her life very difficult. Kelly started over from scratch again and again throughout her life, emerging each time stronger and more determined than before. With her most recent disease, it left her unable to work. She once again started down the road of a more spiritual path, believing that this was the key to restoring her health and making it possible to achieve the success she knew that she's always been destined for. And by the time 2014 had arrived, Kelly was well on the way to mending her life and even began to realize that journal entries that she had made during her dark times would make an excellent book. And in May of 2014, she began to work on the book, When on the Road to Enlightenment, Don't Forget to Take Out the Trash. And in earnest, she was working on that book. And she was finished in July, so it took her only from May to July. And she tells people that it took her 10 years to think about the book and then only 2 months to actually write it. So Kelly now teaches workshops regularly and is quickly becoming a very popular, inspirational, motivational speaker and a highly sought-after life coach. Kelly Fitzgerald, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you about all of this. Your book title sounds very intriguing.
Well, you know, the book title, it came to me during a meditation. I had gone through so much and I was reading all the right books and I was listening to all the right tapes and following all the right teachers, and I was still feeling stuck. So I had started meditating and I kind of had a moment where I was really angry with God. And I was sort of, why isn't this working? I'm doing all of these things. This is supposed to be working. I was told this would work. What am I missing? And very, very clearly in the back of my head, I heard, because you didn't take out your trash. And that's what we do. We go through life burying things and we think we deal with things, but we really aren't dealing with them. We just stop consciously thinking about them. And sometimes what that does is it just buries all of those negative thoughts, feelings, and beliefs that we kind of store them away. And I realized I had a very, very full internal trash can. And it wasn't until I allowed myself to go back and look at what that was, what it was, you know, what was I doing, really looking at it and feeling it. And then I could let it go. And that's why the book got that title, because it really is something I think we all do. We hold on to those negative things instead of letting them go.
Yes, for sure. And I know that people in our audience can definitely relate to that frustration of trying and trying and trying and doing, you know, thinking you do all the right things, and then having it just there's you're not making any strides. You're just stuck, or sometimes even go backwards.
Right.
Yeah. So it really makes sense to be able to take out the trash, but how do you identify that that's, you know, that's what's happening, and how do you get rid of it?
You know, I did a lot of inner work, and I teach people now to do that same kind of inner work. We aren't really living a mindful life most of the time. We sort of go through the motions. We're just sort of on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And when we become more mindful, and it doesn't happen overnight, but when we become more mindful, if you've ever been in a store, this happened to one of my clients a couple of weeks ago. She called me and she says, I just went grocery shopping. It was a horrible experience. And I said, why? Well, because that song came on in the grocery store.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And that was something she felt she dealt with. It reminded her of a bad situation, a bad time in her life, and it brought her to tears. And when we find those things, that's a trigger. And that's telling us what area we need to look at. The other thing people can do is, if you are really struggling in one area of your life for a very long time, I was waging an inner war with myself, with my health. And I would find, why am I not feeling better? I should be feeling better. And then I was feeling bad for feeling bad. Mm-hmm. And I think we do that to ourselves too. So when you catch yourself doing that, that's the area you need to look in. You know, it's before Valentine's Day every year, I do a workshop, and that workshop is helping people find out why they're blocking themselves from a fulfilling relationship. And 99% of the time, it's because they have buried some kind of negative experience that they have not been facing. And in order to let things go, you really do have to face it. You can't just push it to the side and pretend it doesn't exist, because it doesn't make it go away. It makes it fester.
Right. You see, yeah, stuffing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not expressing it. So if let's take an example for our listeners. Say there is a lot of people that were, you know, bullied on the playground. So
right.
Maybe
that's
that left
hot.
Huh?
That's a hot topic, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, kids don't know what they're doing and how disheartening it is to be on the other end of it. So anyway, let's take an example of kids being bullied on the playground, and that, you know, that has caused something that sticks with you, and so you don't feel good enough, or you don't feel like you belong, or you don't feel whatever that feeling is that came from that origin. So that keeps showing up in your life over and over again, right?
Yes, and it will until you look at it. I went through that as a child, and I have many, many, many clients who have also gone through that. It's kind of, we do attract the people that we need to work with. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But the basis of that is self-love. It's loving and accepting yourself.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do with my clients is extremely powerful, and Louise Hay actually does it, is mirror work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at yourself in the eyes, you can tell how desperately you need to do this exercise, because a lot of people, the first time I tell them, stand in front of a mirror and look yourself in the eye, they can't do it.
Mm.
But when you look at yourself in the eye, tell yourself, I love you and I completely accept you exactly as you are. I have worked with people who took weeks to be able to do that.
Wow. So looking in the mirror and just looking in your eyes and saying, I love you and accept you just the way you are.
Exactly. And that's a very powerful, very easy thing once you get the hang of it. I've been doing that for years now, and I still do it, you know, even though I do it now and I laugh at myself because it's like, wow, I remember when I couldn't do this. Look how easy it is now. But the other thing that you can do, and I tell people to do this as well, sit down and honestly evaluate yourself as a person. Write down as many things as you can come up with that are wonderful about you. That goes a long way. When I did that exercise the first time myself, I came up with 5 things.
Yeah.
You know, now I can write novels, but you know, it's,
those are
starting points.
Yeah, that is so true. So tell me, you told me about where you got the idea of writing your book. And you kind of alluded to the fact why you wrote the book, but maybe let us know a little bit more of your background and story and what actually happened.
I grew up in a family that was extremely dysfunctional. And I know and fully, completely accept that they did the very best they knew how to do. But a lot of times, dysfunctional families, that kind of runs in families, generation after generation after generation. So I didn't have that really firm footing. I would be bullied at school, and then I would go home and be bullied at home. So that was where I came from. I was a very, very, very young mother. I was 17 when I got married. He was extremely abusive. It only got worse the longer we stayed together. I left him 6 times before I was finally able to build up my self-confidence enough to rebuild my life and my daughter's life. I didn't have a support network. There was, at that time, there were not battered women shelters. There were not organizations that helped women. And I was very, very young as well. So I didn't get off to a great start. So, you know, I had very limited education. I had this little bitty kid, and I had an abusive, at that time, ex-husband who was sort of stalking me. You know, it was not a pretty place to start, but it was where I started from. Mm-hmm. I actually picked up and moved to another state to completely get away from him and started rebuilding my life. And what I realized really, really quickly was I could not get the job I needed to support basically a family, you know, single parent situation with the limited education I had. So one of my first employers at that time, after I had moved, told me, you know, as an employee, you're a terrific business owner. You should do that. And I thought, I'm a business owner. What kind of business could I have? And he said, well, what do you like to do? And I said, well, kind of like walking the dog. So I literally started a pet sitting company.
Awesome. Wow.
And, you know, then I had a friend who had computers, and I kind of learned desktop publishing. So I started doing that. And you have to understand, this was back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there were a number of different things I did. I started everything from lawn care companies to I eventually at one point owned a laundromat, you know, just anything that I could come up with to make money. And I found that that worked better than having a job that wasn't going to support us. So I started getting sick at that point. You know, every time things would start getting better, I would get sick. Ultimately, I had some life-saving surgery. The surgeon was telling me that, you know, or it was telling my friends. They were wheeling me into surgery, and the surgeon was telling my friends that, do they know if I'd had a living will, or do they know what my wishes would be? Because it was that grave. I had an ovarian cyst that was actually bursting.
Oh, jeez.
So I had that. And then while I was in the recovery room, I heard the word cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I kind of decided that wasn't going to be my path. I decided, nope, that's not happening. So I went through more surgery. They got everything. I ended up not having to go through any treatments.
Wow.
And I started on a very, very holistic lifestyle and treatment plan. Once again, I started doing businesses. I started, you know, all of these things started falling into line. And then the person I was in a relationship with at that time, who I really, truly thought I would marry this guy, live with him forever, went home from my office one day and he had moved out completely.
So these things keep coming up. Why do you think they're coming up? Oh, you can talk about that after. I you know, go ahead and finish your story.
No, absolutely. They all come up over and over again because I was getting stronger. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to build a skyscraper without a foundation.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't have a foundation at that point. I still didn't like myself. Mm-hmm. I was just doing what I had to do.
Yeah.
Not something that I necessarily wanted to do. It was just, you know, this is my responsibility. I have this tiny little person. You know, you do things sometimes without really thinking about them. You just kind of go through the motions. And that's why it kept happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was sort of, I tell people, you know, the universe gives you signs and, you know, God talks to you and, you know, whatever your beliefs are, whoever you want to, you know, claim as your divine whoever, they do give you signs and signals. And when you keep ignoring them, they start throwing things at you.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So really kind of looking back, you can see what the signs were, right?
Right.
I mean, we go through these situations, everybody's had stuff, and as you look back, you can see, why is it that we can't see going into things? Is it our reactions? Is it our emotions, our ego, or not being, I mean, what is that?
I think it comes from a place of ego. When things start going right, we have a tendency of saying, yes, I've got it. I've arrived. Nothing's, you know, I've got this. I'm controlling this. This is amazing. And we don't stay mindful of what we're doing. We start going through the motions and thinking we've got it all figured out. And every single time in my life that I have thought, oh, I've got it all figured out, wham, here comes, you know, something else that was teaching me, no, wrong way, wrong direction, do a U-turn, go back, try again. And but I think we do that. I think we do that to ourselves all the time. We just think that we're in control and we are not. So that's coming from a place of definitely coming from an ego.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we want to push back. We want
right.
to resist everything that it's not the way we thought exactly it was going to be. We want to push against it.
Right.
And I think some of those things happen because we're not open to, oh, well, maybe if I go right versus left.
Exactly.
Or straight ahead, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting to me, some of the things that have happened along those kind of lines that I look at now and I go, wow, okay, that's why that happened. But at one time I was in a car accident and it was heavy traffic. It was in the Bay Area. I was already running late and this guy bumped into my back bumper in, you know, stop and go traffic. And then we had to pull over and then we had to exchange information. And then I was really late.
Mm.
And when I finally got to my destination, someone ran up to me and hugged me and said, "Oh, thank God you're okay." And I thought, what? And there had been a fatality on the freeway. And if I hadn't been involved in that little fender bender, I would have been involved in the bigger accident.
Yeah. I always think about that when I'm driving behind somebody really super slow on the country roads that you can't pass. It's like, okay, just enjoy the scenery. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just go with it. Yeah, that's funny. So how did you build your business when you were, you know, fighting to get healthier and stronger?
As far as my life coaching and Reiki businesses, I just started doing it. This is something that I have always done my whole life. I've always coached people. I just didn't know what to call it. Mm-hmm. My clients about a year ago got together, and I was redoing my website, and I said, "What am I to you?" Because in my mind, I combine coaching with Reiki, and I'm an intuitive. So I combine multiple things here. What do you see me as? And they, three of my clients got together, and they came up with Positive Transformation Catalyst.
Love that.
And I thought, that's perfect. I will take it. But what I did is I just kept going. I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And the funny thing is, when I realized that my purpose in life is to help people, my purpose in life is to show people how they can live the life of their dreams, how they can find that happiness and that love that we seem to be so desperately searching for so much of the time, then things really did start falling into place. I did one speaking engagement when my book first came out. And from that one thing that had maybe 12 people, I mean, there were, you know, very, very few people there, but I got invited to do a bigger event. And then my book was selling. And then I got invited to do a workshop with someone else. And then I started doing my own. So when you find your path that is really your purpose and you live from your heart, it is amazing how things become so synchronistic in your life.
Yeah, that is like feeling, being in the flow all the time and
right.
just letting things happen, right? I mean, knowing where you, having a vision of what you want and what feels good to you. I think that's the heart opening part. It's like, what brings you joy?
Right.
And moving towards that.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing how many people don't know what brings them joy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Any tips there?
I think the question that I ask people is, if you could do anything all the time, if you could do anything and know you could not fail and know all of your needs would be taken care of, what would you do?
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one, because when you're, I mean, we're so stuck in the things that we should do and the things that our, you know, past generation has done, and it's changing. I mean, you can feel it changing and seeing the shifts, and the younger generation are these bright, brilliant people that have, you know, no cares in the world. You know, they're changing, they're changing the way we work. They're changing, you know, like the new tech companies are doing projects instead of, you know, 8-to-5 jobs. And I mean, it's changing, but it started from people just doing what they love to do.
Right.
I love that. So I hear that you have a free gift for our listeners.
I do. I would love to give away copies of my book. It's When on the Road to Enlightenment. Don't forget to take out the trash.
I love that title. I just love that title. And I love your title, The Positive Transformation Catalyst. That's totally awesome. Awesome. So you are going to have that book available from March 21st to the 25th. So
right.
Monday through Friday. Excuse me. So The link will be on the blog post, and just make sure to be on the blog post between the 21st and the 25th so you can get a hold of that fantastic book that Kelly is offering. I have one last question for you.
Sure.
If you could give our listeners your best short answer tip on how to get out of overwhelm and feel fully alive, what would that be?
Breathe. No, really, meditation, breathing. That's what did it for me.
Just bringing you back home, bringing you back. Yeah. And for people that don't meditate normally, for those of our listeners that don't meditate and aren't really aware of breathing, how would you explain that?
You know, you can meditate sitting outside. You can go for a walk and it will be very meditative. It's being mindful. It's feeling your breath flowing into your lungs and feeling it go back out. And like I said, you can do that anyway. I really started meditating when I started walking outside.
That's awesome. Yes. A lot of people talk about walking meditations, and I drive a lot for business, and I'm on the road a lot, and I listen to quote unquote meditations, and I'm not meditating, but I'm being taken away from the stuff that I don't want. How am I going to put it? It's like it's being transferred out of your mind, out of your ego part of your mind, I guess.
Right. It's just being present in the moment, enjoying this moment right now, and not worrying about the next one.
And I think presence is so, so very important. And I don't think any of us practice it enough.
No, I don't think you can practice.
I know. Yeah, it's great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been fantastic. I know I've learned, and I know the listeners have learned. And so that was Kelly Fitzgerald, everyone, talking about positive transformation. So thank you very much, Kelly, and thank you, everyone. And make sure to listen to the next show. See you soon.
As always, we appreciate you listening to Women Reconnecting, where you get inspired to reconnect with who you really are and create a life that brings you joy. With each episode, we bring you new strategies to feel your best and discover new possibilities for your life. Make sure to listen again as we bring you new and exciting guests that will help you to keep moving forward along your path so you can have fun, play full out, and really feel alive. Until next time, enjoy life.